Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. On this Thursday, we're going to be previewing high school football between 3:35 and 4 o'clock. But we now start out with the magical, mystical Kevin Herr email of the day. The disturbing part for Kevin is these topics usually are knocked out within about 2.5 to 3 minutes.
Seconds.
No. I've tried to expand as far as I can on them, so about 2.5 to 3 minutes. I take it as far as I can go.
Again, seconds.
Yeah. Here we go. Topic number one. Florida suspends quarterback and corner for the Tennessee game. Neither one started against Kentucky.
The quarterback started the first game of the season, though, didn't he? No, I thought he played in both. I thought he played both games.
Will Greer's their quarterback. He's the backup.
Okay, well, how does he have stats then? Did he get in both games then?
Yeah, he's got in the games. Okay. You know.
All right.
Will Greer's the starting quarterback. All right. The corner, meanwhile, did not start the last game. Quincy Wilson started the last game. Quincy Wilson will start again this week. The issue is quite simple from what we understand. One failed a drug test, marijuana. The other one refused to take a drug test, which is an automatic one-game suspension. How long did that take?
I have to give CBS credit, though. This must be the CBS game of the week, Tennessee, Florida.
Yeah.
Because that was one of their favorite headlines for the past 12 hours now, because they're trying to promote that game.
But he's not. Harris last year made his first career start against Tennessee, replacing Jeff Driscoll. Will Greer has replaced him this year. And Quincy Wilson started the last game against Kentucky anyway, a corner. So, for Tabor.
Well, this would be the first time that Tennessee, well, if Tennessee were to win, they haven't done that since 2004 against Florida.
Yes, that's very true. Every year's a new year, new opportunity. Let's see, next. NCAA changing bylaws on academic fraud based on UNC case. Why does it take so long for the NCAA? The only time they've ever done anything fast was here.
Well, I'd like to say they learned a lesson, but I'm not so sure that that's the case.
The only time they've ever done anything fast was here. And I think it is safe to say that there are many elements of here they got wrong. Big 12 talking about investigating incoming freshmen for misconduct. Do coaches and schools check into the recruits' background anyway? Yes, they do. They do. Well, at least some schools do. They check into it. Some check it into it to the extent of he runs a 4.3. That's all we need to check. And others do a little bit more. With Penn State recruits, I'll give you an example with Penn State recruits. In fact, I had a long talk today with Charles Huff, Herb Hand, and Bob Shoup about this very topic. And we were discussing not only looking into a player, but they look into the school background. They look into the family background. It means a lot to them. Most of these... Not every player. Look, every player comes from a different life and a different background. But I'll give you an example. At quarterback club, one of the areas where I ask a question, because the people at the quarterback club, you know, they demand two things. They want to know what their major is, and they want to know about their families all the time. All the other stuff, it's, you know, so it's mandatory that I ask those two questions every single time. And every guy that gets up there, many of them, not all, but many of them are from two family households. I mean, from two parent households. Brendan Mann was up there this week, two parent household. Antoine White, two parent household. Grew up in the same town as Mike Trout. Chris Godwin, you know, when he got up there, talked about that. I've talked to Saquon Barkley. First thing, you know what the first thing Barkley does when he gets to the end zone? He looks for his parents. And it's one by one. Now, not everybody's obviously in the same boat. But they, for the most part, a lot of these guys come from really good, rock-solid families. Not everybody's in that boat. You're going to get a cross-section like anybody else. But, you know, they do look into that here. They look into it because they're trying to promote a family atmosphere within what they're trying to do here. And they had to get a lot of guys in a short period of time. They got 51 guys in 2 years. Penn State has never recruited since the 25-85 rule in 1992. Penn State has never recruited 51 guys in a two-year span. Never. You know, and signed them. Now, this year there are 20. They've got one remaining. And they're going to be very picky about the one. Now they could have more than one remaining depending on decisions made at the end of the season by some players. But it is, they do look into it because they want it. Because one of the more important things that you need in recruiting, there's certain obvious parts. Oh, what kind of player is he? How fast is he? Does he? What about the positional fit here with what you're trying to do? You know, I mean, that usual laundry list. But they're also looking for fit. Do you fit with what Penn State's trying to do? Do you fit with what Penn State football wants to accomplish? Do you fit with the existing players? Fit means something when you talk about the recruiting end of it. And I'll give you an example. It goes back 9.5 years ago. A high, high profile running back that has since gone on to the NFL was being recruited here at Penn State. And he turned the players off. And he made some very insulting remarks to Michael Robinson. When it was all said and done, the players went to Joe Paterno, and they said, you know what? I know this guy's a great, great running back, but he's not our kind of guy. You want to know what Joe did? Recruiting ended that second. As soon as the players told him, it's not our kind of guy, Joe said, good enough for me. They're not going to square peg round hole it. All right, and these guys feel the same way. I asked Charles Huff today specifically about player feedback in recruiting. And he talked about that if the players come back to them and say, you know what, I'm not so sure about this, then they will consider backing off. So, yeah, that means something, Kevin. It does. It means something.
I just couldn't believe that there would be teams that wouldn't do some sort of background check on any recruit they bring in for any sport.
Kevin, they don't care. So, you know, remember, everyone has different standards. There are some people out there who just flat out do not care. Can the dude run 4.3? All right. Can the dude block? And that we are done. Can he slam dunk it? Can he hit three-point shots? Do not care. Okay, remember Marshall Henderson at Ole Miss? The basketball player?
Yes. I think.
Four schools. Okay, four. Okay? Some people do not care. They care about winning games. That's one of the reasons why, for example, when you find, you know, I know it's FCS, but when you find a Joe Susan, he's a slice of gold. Really good football coach, really smart, and understands the mission of a university in conjunction with athletics. Joe Paterno understood the mission of athletics and academics and what came first. Like, you're not going to recruit, obviously, all angels over time. You're going to have misses. When you have to recruit the literally thousands of players that they recruited in his 46 years here, you're going to have a few misses. But the number of hits is exponentially greater. Bill O'Brien had that standard, and James Franklin has that same standard. Same standard. Now, could you possibly miss on somebody? Yes. You're not going to be perfect on it. You're not going to be. There's also the mindset, too, though, that for some programs, when you do miss, is they think that if they bring you in, they can kind of make you conform as to what's going on. And there are some programs that really believe that. They really, you know, and let's take it to the pro level. The Patriots have believed that. That they could bring you in, and our culture, as to how we will influence you so much, it'll get you on the straight and narrow. But it does mean something. It does mean something. We'll take a break, come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention car buyers. If you've been waiting for a deal of a lifetime, the time is now. During the month of September, take advantage of savings like never before. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has special purchase deals. New cars at certified used prices. That's right, brand new 2014 Hyundai blowouts with full warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Buy a Hyundai Sonata 2.0 Limited with over $9,000 in savings. Or a Hyundai Genesis R-Spec Sedan, an unbelievable $14,000 off. Or a Hyundai Elantra GT, $7,300 in savings. We only have 5 of these cars left with over $48,000 in savings. And it is only at the official sponsor of Great Cars at Great Prices, Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. Or online at sunburymotors.com.
The next part of the Kevin Herr rundown deals with the Pirates. The Pirates made the playoffs. They're playing Colorado right now in what is not a great pitching matchup today for the Pirates. Jeff Locke against Chad Bettis. Chad Bettis has actually pitched very well the last month, by the way, for Colorado. A lot of people don't realize that, but he has. He's actually 3-1 in his last five starts for Colorado. Meanwhile, Jeff Locke's 1-3 in his last four starts. That's why they make you the sixth starter. Polanco hurt his leg last night out. Don't know what his deal is. Pirates have jumped out to a 1-0 lead in the first inning of that game. The Pirates really need to have this down to two games by Sunday night. If they have it down to two games by Sunday night, they give themselves a chance because they play a three-game series with the Cardinals at PNC Park starting on Monday night. And if they could sweep that series, then with being down just two, they would then take the lead in the division. That's got to be, I think, the formula for them to do it. They got Colorado today, then three with the Cubs. I really believe Major League Baseball needs to change what they're doing with their format when it comes to the playoffs. I think it's wrong that the Pirates have the second best record in all of baseball and have to play a one-game playoff. I think that once you get in, get into the playoffs, now I think it needs to be done seeding 1-5. And the fourth and fifth teams, record-wise, need to be the two teams playing the one-game playoff. This particular year, that would be the Dodgers and the Mets.
Do you feel the same way with the NFL?
Yes, I've always felt that way.
Okay. No, I do too. That's why I wanted to see if you felt differently, if the NFL was different. But But I've always felt that way too. Even if you win the division and you win the division at 7-9, you should not be getting a you should not be getting a pass.
No. Here's the reason why. Do it by percentages. In baseball, you have 6-5 team divisions, 15 teams in each league. You play 19 games against each team in your division, which is 76 games. That's 47% of your games within the division. Thus, winning the division based on that high percentage should get you an automatic entry into the playoffs. Enough said, I don't think anybody disagrees with that. But because you play 53% of your games against outer division opponents, that allows me to then say you have to play at 1-5 going down. Now, that means the Pirates will play the Cubs in a 5-game series to start out, and the Cardinals would get the Dodger-Mets winner. Now, in the American League, Texas and Houston would play that one game. The Yankees would skip it because the Yankees have the third-best record in the American League. And I firmly believe that, now to the NFL, your example, the division is important to get you in. You win the division, you should be in, because you play 6 games home and away against those 3 teams. That's 38% of your schedule, but because you play 62%, the overall big picture, you should be seeded 1-6 at each conference. And that's how and if it turns out that the wild card team is 12-4, oh, and by the way, the division winner is 9-7, guess what? 9-7 has to play at 12-4.
And by the way, I can't stand
and a wild card team should be allowed to be a first-round bye.
Well, I'll tell you what I can't stand in baseball is I can't stand these one-game wild cards. I mean, you can't do best 2 out of 3 at worst?
You know what, Kevin? I disagree with you on this one.
Okay.
I think fairness-wise, you are correct. Fairness-wise, you are correct. But the ratings are great.
Oh, don't get me wrong.
Take all.
Oh yeah, it's a great. It's a one game playoff, and people are interested in it. It's. I don't deny that. That's why the Super Bowl idea is popular. It's one game for the championship. What other professional sport does that?
Kevin, it's football.
I know. I knew you were going to say that, but you missed. You understand my point.
If they play best 2 out of 3, people would watch.
I realize that. My favorite is the 3-team tie for 2 wild card spots. You have team A, B, and C. A would host B, and then the winner would take on C. And they're decided by head-to-head records.
Yeah, you had that, though, 2 years ago.
Why not just flip a coin? It'd be easier.
No, 2 years ago, Tampa Bay had to play at Texas, 1. Then had to play at Cleveland, 1, and then lost in 4 games to the Red Sox. So that's already happened.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Kevin Herr has been driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week, one that he has to turn in tomorrow, which always brings with it the usual waterworks. I think John Boehner cried less today with the Pope.
Well, he might have some emotional attachment to the 2016 Hyundai Tucson Sport. It has a sport feel with suspension, the tight steering, all-wheel drive, so you can get around in the winter, plus a lot of the convenience features you would think of a vehicle in the 30s, and this one's not even priced in the 30s, and that's before you get the Sunbury Motors discount. Great financing, the warranty that is America's best warranty that covers basically everything, the automatic lift gate, the lane assist, which will actually let you know when there's a vehicle that is in your blind spot. So it'll light up on the rear view mirror on the passenger or driver's side, depending on the side of the vehicle or the side you're actually turning on. And if you have the turn signal on, it will actually beep to let you know that there's a vehicle there and you can't pull out. So safety, reliability, comfort, convenience, all available with the 2016 Hyundai Tucson Sport from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. See the details at sunburymotors.com.
All right, let's get to our high school football previews. We're going to start out with Lewisburg playing at Milton. Should be a good game. Steve Williams joins us. He'll have the call on WMLP 1380. Won the Tomato Bowl last week, Steve. How the heck did they pull that off?
Well, they pulled it off by not making the mistakes at the end of the game that they've been making. The Black Panthers played a lot of different players last week, too. We saw some different looks, and they got a lot of bodies in the game that North Penn probably was not ready for. They played an offense very similar to what they're going to get against this week against Lewisburg, but Lewisburg's got much more experience with Trent Gower in the backfield. The interesting thing about Milton is they're really racking up some big yards on the ground. Brendan Stokes with 539 yards already this year. Raph Rodriguez has 283. Just those two guys have more yardage than the entire Lewisburg squad. The difference is that they are not always able to get into the end zone when they get into the red zone. They got to get over that.
We're a little bit more than a third into this now. You know, as you make the turn into game four, what kind of personality has the Milton football team developed in your eyes, Steve?
Well, I tell you, the personality is right on the shoulders of Brendan Stokes, and he is just—he is a bruising, bruising runner. This kid is as good at the fullback position in this Delaware wing tee as I've seen in a while. You know, they list him at 195 in the program, but I know that he wrestled about that at the end of the year last year, so he's more than that. Got good speed, really great determination, doesn't fumble the ball. You know, when you need a couple yards, if you're close, he's going to get it for you. But, you know, he's averaging well over 6-7 yards a carry. And he's carrying people. He's, you know, they're just a bruising football team right now.
And now the matchup. What concerns you about the matchup with Lewisburg? What do they bring to the table that Milton needs to be concerned about?
The passing game. They play the spread offense. Milton has had a chance to see it, like I said, against North Penn. This group is a bit more experienced in running it. Trent Gower is a senior quarterback. I believe he's been starting for 3 years. And, of course, the addition of Dominic Farinato from Mount Carmel School District in the back. And Noah Lynch on the receiving end. He's their leading receiver. And he's done some damage to the Black Panthers the last couple of years defensively. He had a pick six last year, and he had an interception the year before. So they got to keep it away from him.
Yeah. Steve, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. You'll work with Brett Michaels on 1380 WMLP tomorrow night beginning at 6:30 with the kick at 7. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, let's transition now to News Radio 1070 WKOK, where Mifflinburg will play at Shikellamy, a pair of 0-3 teams head-to-head. Dave Ritchie joins us. Dave, what progress have you seen from Shikellamy that could indicate a breakout moment?
Well, I think one of the big problems that they've had is the fact that it hasn't been just the whole team having difficulty getting their job done, but it seems one player will break down from time to time, especially in the line. The offensive line really had a lot to live up to with the reputation they were given in preseason. And so far, they've been working hard, but it seems that just one person would miss an assignment. And of course, when that happens, you know, the defense takes advantage of it. The one thing that they've been working hard on is trying to get a little more athleticism in the line, both offensive and defensive, because I think they need that with some of the teams they're playing. As far as I can see, yes.
And Dave ran out of positives.
Either that or he ran out of minutes.
Just kidding. We will get the Chief back on the line momentarily, which will allow us, by the way, to bring in Matt Catrillo, because he'll have the other side of the Lewisburg-Milton matchup on 100.9 The Valley. He'll be working with Justin Michaels. Matt, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Actually, Matt is on the phone here shortly, too, and I lost him at the same time.
Well, let's bring in Pat O'Brien.
And Pat O'Brien, that's what I can do for you. I've got him on the line, though.
Pat O'Brien and Ryan Brand on Eagle 107. Selins Grove is off to a great start. They play at Shamokin tomorrow night at 7. Airtime set for 6 o'clock. Pat, give me a quick rundown. First of all, great to have you with us. What do you think about this one?
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be on again this week. Selins Grove, 3-0, a good win a week ago. There was some concerns coming out of week two with the 14-7 come-from-behind win over Mount Carmel, but boy, a lot of those were put to rest last week. Selins Grove ended up having five different guys score, and it all started with a 91-yard kickoff return to open things up for Selins Grove when Javon Batt, the first touch of 2015, and boy, he just got things going. Selins Grove just looked very good and comfortable, made big plays when they needed to on the defensive side and also on the offensive side. The first game they didn't have a passing touchdown, but boy, they didn't need it as they did a lot of different things. And boy, it just looked good. It looked good from the beginning and all the way through, and he gets himself ready for a big game against the Shamokin Indians tonight. Tomorrow night, who are 1-2 and have not had a conference game yet, but they did win their first game out, but have lost back-to-back games. And boy, they're giving up 27 points per game. That's tough to win when you're giving up that many points. That's for Selins Grove on the opposite side of their first in District 4 AAA in scoring with 97 points. That's 32 points per game and only giving up 8 points per game. And that's 23 points total. So their defense continues to do well, and they've just had a lot of success against the Shamokin Indians over the years. Actually, this senior class is 4-0 and have outscored Shamokin 152-26. They've shut them out twice, and they've never trailed against the Shamokin Indians. So we're looking forward to watching Selins Grove take on Shamokin. They got hit the road, and you're going to rely on a bunch of seniors to be mature about it and be focused, not looking forward past Shamokin to Berwick next week, and you hope those seniors can do that.
All right, thanks, Pat. And Pat, by the way, with Ryan Brandt tomorrow night on Eagle 107, 7 o'clock, the kick, 6, the airtime. We've been able to get Dave Ritchie back, who went through the tunnel that goes below the Susquehanna River and now has emerged from that tunnel. Dave, welcome back.
I have no idea what happened, Steve.
Well, that's okay. You'll have 3 hours of that with Kevin tomorrow night.
Wow! Oh, man! Again, I'm in the room!
Dave, what are some of the keys that can swing this game one way or the other?
Well, I think, like I was talking about before, is the line has to come through with everybody doing their assignments. I think the talent's there. It's just Penn State going through last year trying to get a line to play. You know, it just seems that the inexperience sometimes, and it all takes is a miscommunication on blocking assignments, and they have difficulty. I do also know that the defensive line, I think there's going to be a little shifting in there. I think they're going to move some linebackers down as linemen and bring in some other linebackers to give them a little bit more speed. That's the key right now is to get both the offensive and defensive lines ready to play against a good Mifflinburg team. I don't know if you heard me say they had a great practice yesterday, probably one of the best ones they've had. So I think attitude-wise, the kids have forgot about Selins Grove and they're ready to win. And, I don't know if you heard me say a win will solve a lot of Shikamoni's problems. It really will.
And what kind of personality? I know it's three games in, but have you seen some personality in the team starting to develop that's really their identity?
Well, I think there's a really nice, sportsmanship, whatever you want to call it. Kids like each other, and I don't think there's any individuality there, and they want to win. And I know they're not gonna sit back and not give their best. Mifflinburg has a good offense and a good defense, a good offense, but they've also had a lot of turnovers. And so maybe Shikamoni can take advantage of that. But I think these are the types of kids, if they get a win under their belt, their confidence is really going to build.
All right, Dave, thanks. Good luck, and you know I mean it, tomorrow night beginning at 6:30 and a 7 o'clock kick.
All right, thanks, Steve. Have a good day.
And you've got a really talented play-by-play guy working with you. It's going to be. I'm sure you're going to have a great game.
Oh, has Matt Cotrillo moved over?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. You know, you're going to go out and toot your own horn, her?
On this show, I'm the only one tooting my horn. That's why.
We don't really need to hear what you're doing. All right. by the way, it's 6:30 the airtime tomorrow night on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We talked about Lewisburg and Milton earlier with Steve Williams, who has the call with Brett Michaels. Well, the Valley will have the call on 100.9 with Matt Cotrillo and Justin Michaels. Hi, Matt. How are you? Great to have you with us. What's made Lewisburg successful?
Well, I think it's their skill and their athleticism. We didn't quite see that last week against Mount Carmel. And, you know, this was kind of the first humbling experience for this team. You know, this team was riding high off that win against Montoursville Friday night, 2-0. You know, they're facing the struggling Mount Carmel team. But this team, as I mentioned last week, was going to have some juice. You know, they had to weather that early storm. And basically nothing at all went right for this Lewisburg team. And they just folded, which I guess we weren't sure exactly. You know, you're asking everybody about, you know, what's the attitude of the team so far, do you think? And I thought it was being a resilient bunch, and I think we're really going to get that answer this upcoming week here against Milton tomorrow, coming off that tough loss to Mount Carmel. They faced a few injuries. Trent Garrett was in and out of the game, getting banged up. The offensive line got exposed a little bit. Dom Farinato went down with an injury, which apparently looked serious to me when I first saw it. But we'll see if he actually plays tomorrow. He's listed as he's probably going to play, but we'll see. If I'm at practice right now, we'll see if I can get an answer here from Coach Ferreira coming into tomorrow. So that's all going to be very interesting. And then the other thing coming in this week, Steve, is the run defense for Lewisburg. You know, they've gotten gas now these first 3 weeks of the season, and they're facing Brandon Stokes again tomorrow, who's been running all over the place for Milton. So it's going to be interesting to see how this team responds, and then I think we'll start to get an idea of where this team can actually go, because we know how talented they are, but mentally we'll actually really see if this is a resilient team depending on how they perform tomorrow night.
What kind of plus can that pass game be in this game against Milton?
Oh, big time. I think, well, you saw Matt Fedoraka get back into action this week, 7 receptions for 63 yards after a quiet start to the season in the first two games. You know, Noah Inch, Steve talked about it earlier, how potent he's been against the Black Panthers in recent history, both offensively and defensively, and he had that kind of game against Montoursville 2 weeks ago, was quiet last week, and I think he's the X factor of this game for both sides. It's definitely Noah Inch, but, of course, you know, Coach Ferreira's going to try and get the run game going as well, get the offensive line back into a rhythm, and that goes back to protecting Trent Gowers, which they did not do a very good job of last week, but it starts on the outside with the passing game with Matt Fedoraka and Noah Inch.
All right, Matt, good luck tomorrow night. Great call, as always. Looking forward to it on 100.9 The Valley when Lewisburg plays at Milton. Thanks, Matt.
Sounds good, Steve. Thanks.
All right, so here's the rundown tomorrow night. Lewisburg will be at Milton. You'll hear the Milton call with Steve Williams and Brett Michaels on 1380 WMLP. You'll hear the Lewisburg side of it with the aforementioned Matt Cotrillo and Justin Michaels on 100.9 The Valley. Sealands Grove will be at Shamokin tomorrow night on Eagle 107 with Pat O'Brien and Ryan Brandt. And it'll be Mifflinburg at Chickalamy with Dave Ritchie.
Be nice to have him back this week.
That will be on News Radio 1070 WKOK, along with the award-winning play-by-play of Kevin Herr. Did I build it up big enough for you?
That's better. Thank you.
The award-winning play-by-play of Kevin Herr. Where touchdown Chickalamy takes on a new meaning. There have been rumors you even say it during shutouts just to say it.
I don't recall that happening. I'm not sure that I did get okay, one. We did get one in last week.
Let's remember. How much do you remember from yesterday's show?
I've actually tried not to.
We'll come back.
I've been in therapy for the last 24 hours from yesterday's show.
Oh, come on. Yesterday's show was a good show. Come on, man. We had a lot going on. We had the San Diego State guy on yesterday, Todd Leonard. He spoke highly of you. Said, you know, then San Diego, you're huge. They're talking a lot. Talk about maybe you taking Dick Enberg's spot. Now he's retiring in a year.
I like that idea.
And based on the vote of the audience, they're with you. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Subway Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is extending their free ride 0% financing for 72 months program. Plus, they're bringing back the popular Sign and Go. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new 2015 Ford Focus. Sign and Go for only $199 a month or take $3,000 off plus 0% for 72 months. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new 2015 Ford Fusion. Sign and Go for only $215 a month or take $1,500 off plus 0% for 72 months. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new 2015 Ford Escape. Sign and Go for only $239 a month or take $2,750 off plus 0% for 72 months. Subway Motors has over 150 new Ford trucks available with savings up to $10,500. Choose from over 100 new 2015 F-150s and take up to $5,500 off plus 0% financing for 72 months. SMC is going to make September the month to remember by selling 75 new Fords in the next 10 days. Subway Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving Central PA for over a century. Sale prices include rebates, tax and tags extra.
All right, fun half hour, love previewing the high school games, and great to have Dave Ritchie on, as always. Along with Matt Cotrillo, Steve Williams, Pat O'Brien, our thanks to them. Fran Fisher would have been 92 today, guys. Fran would have been 92 today. Ross Insana, MLB Network, joins us next half hour. Pennant race time, and then the ramblings of Kevin Herr in the final half hour. Now that draws a crowd.
I'm excited myself.
There's a fine line between genius and insanity. This skirts that line.
I like to say tiptoes.
Oh, I say fine line.